Commentator Julie Zickafoos thought a bullfrog might be a pleasant and decorative addition to her backyard water garden, so she introduced a tadpole. It turned out that the tadpole had other plans, a metamorphosis into a top-of-the-line predator, an uberfrog.
It seemed like a good idea at first, putting a bullfrog tadpole in my little backyard water garden. By the last week of July, he was sitting on a lily pad, a newly minted bullfroglet. I named him Fergus. Fergus grew quickly, and no wonder. I tossed him a mealworm or two every time I passed the fish pond. He grew tame, letting me hold him up to admire his beautiful bronze-flecked eyes. Fergus grew in girth and voracity. Once he mistook my pinky finger for a mealworm and tried valiantly to stuff it down his throat with his four-fingered hands. I flipped him back into the pond with a laugh. Still, there was something chilling about the grip of his serrated jaws, and I got a flash of what it must feel like to be prey. In June of my frog's second year, I looked down from my bedroom window to see Fergus gaily bow-tied by the wings of a great spangled fritillary as it disappears down his throat. I watch in horror as he launches himself again and again into my butterfly garden. The big frog snaps his jaws shut on swallowtails, crescents, and sulfurs, amputating the flower heads as he hunts. One July morning, I notice the tiny tail feather of a hummingbird afloat on the surface of the pond. Then nine more for a full set. They're bent. They were pulled out with force. I glare at Fergus, who is very round and fat. There's a ruby-throated hummingbird inside him, and I don't need X-ray spectacles to know it. Only a week later, there's another set of hummingbird tail feathers in the pond. My blood chills. I realize that Fergus's constant station beneath the pink water lily blossoms has nothing to do with froggy aesthetics. He's catching the hummingbirds as they come in to feed. On August 2nd, I glance over to see him seemingly smoking a long cigar. It's the tail of a chipping sparrow. A late chipping sparrow. Furious, I race up the basement stairs, frog in fist, giving Fergus his first and last tour of the house. I grab my camera to fire off a couple of shots of the culprit caught. He gulps once, and the sparrow's tail and limp foot vanish. Why do I feel so betrayed? I'd set my little ecosystem up as a peaceable kingdom. All along, I was luring butterflies and birds to an early grave, fueling my fat frog prince's fire. Fergus was just being a bullfrog. And bullfrogs live by simple rules. If it moves and you can swallow it, eat it. Fergus has got to go. I call our neighbors and ask permission to release a large bullfrog in their farm pond, where I figure Fergus will have much tougher hunting. I trudge down to the pond's edge and dump Fergus in. He hesitates, then pops up in the featureless pond, as plain as a pimple on a cover girl. "Come on, Fergus," I coax. "Just swim away, and I'll be done with you." I waver on the shore, feeling low. I've inadvertently killed who knows how many birds, and now this. What does tame old Fergus know of predators, other than to be one? The next evening, I drive slowly by Fergus's new home, searching the water's edge for his familiar shape. There's a great blue heron standing on the shore, looking out over the smooth water.
Julie Zickafoos is a painter and writer who lives on Indigo Hill, a nature sanctuary in Whipple, Ohio. This is NPR, National Public Radio.